our friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast. A ton of people are probably very upset about what he did on Thanksgiving, myself included.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Got knocked out of the playoffs in one particularly because Brandon Cooks decided that he doesn't want to get one target in a game that New Orleans seemingly scored like 100 points.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Talk about the Rams at New England. Mike, what are your thoughts on Danny Woodhead?
Danny Woodhead, you know, he is certainly somebody you have to plan for. Brandon Bolden and him, they're just making up such a...
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 93 of the Friends of Fantasy Benefits football podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Mike Warner. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Justin. I hope you had a great holiday. I know me personally, I got knocked out of the playoffs in one particularly because Brandon Cooks decided that he doesn't want to get one target in a game that New Orleans seemingly scored like 100 points.
Yeah. That's got to be pretty brutal. You know, of the leagues that I thought I'd be competing in this year, I am competing in them. So I'm on the edge. Like, the league I'm defending champion in, I'm, like, right there. Like, I need to win this week and get some help to get in the playoffs. But other than that, I think I've got, like, first-round buys wrapped up. I'm in the playoffs in the three-sport football league. As are, I think, you are. Or at least you're right there on the cusp of making the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm in there right now, or as of right now, so I should be fun.
Yeah, so far, I think it's going fairly well, especially considering, like, in my PPR league, I have lost, I want to say, my top six draft picks.
Wow, to injury?
Yeah, to either injury or suspension or whatever throughout the year. I think, like, you know, Keenan Allen, Adrian Peterson, Jeremy Maclin, guys like that, just completely decimated, and I clinched a first round bye this last week. So, you know, in spite of the injuries, you can still win if you are diligent in your leagues. But let's talk about some football. We got Week 13 coming up. Those of you who are in the playoff push, more than likely playoffs start next week for most people in most leagues. So if you were in the playoff push right now, this could be a very important week for you, as it is for me. So let's jump right in and talk about the schedule and who's playing who. Let's start with Kansas City at Atlanta. Mike, what's your takeaway for this game?
Yeah, I think, I mean, my first takeaway is Tyreek Hill, and he went absolutely, I don't know, I didn't play anybody that started Tyreek Hill last week, but if you did and you ended up getting bounced from the playoffs because of it, then, you know, I feel really bad for you because, you know, obviously Denver is, you know, the top secondary in all of football. You would never think of starting a guy like Tyreek Hill against them, you know, although he's been just insane athletically this year. And, you know, I think it's pretty obvious how much of a fantasy asset he could be as the years go on, especially in keeper and dynasty leagues. But, you know, I have him as a top 20 option this week. And that is, you know, as of the ranks, Jeremy Maclin was not looking great in terms of his, you know, prospects for playing this week. It has looked a little bit better in terms of his, you know, his injuries right now. I mean, he has a groin pull. We'll see what happens in terms of Sunday. But if he were to play, I would assume that Maclin would assume 40 to 50% of the snaps, somewhere in there. They probably wouldn't, you know, give him a full, you know, complement of the workload off the jump. So I still think Hill is a wide receiver 3 or 2, depending on what happens. But, you know, no Desmond Trufant. I expect this game to kind of shoot out. We'll see. But if you're, you know, if your season hangs in the balance on, you know, playing a guy like Tyreek Hill, then I think he's okay to play this week.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think even if Maclin does suit up, they're going to be pretty tentative with him. So, you know, so far it looks like you practice on back-to-back days. So there is a chance, but he's been limited. And he did have a setback last week when we thought he would be coming back. So I don't know. I wouldn't bank on Macklin being a huge part of the offense, even if he does return. So I think you're right. Tyreek Hill's a good play. My takeaway, Tevin Coleman, I think, is looking better at practice, according to reports, and I think he could be a breakout guy for this game. So he's a guy that I think people have been stashing, and I think he kind of is flex-worthy this week against Kansas City.
Sure. I mean, I think he's more of a deeper league play, but, I mean, running back is just such a, you know, tough position this year.
Yeah, yeah. That, I'm starting sort of Wendell Smallwood in a league this week.
Excellent. That's what I'm talking about. A little Wendell Smallwood. But, you know, I agree. I have Tevin Coleman as a flex option according to my ranks. I don't really have much to say against that take. I will say on the other end that, you know, Spencer Ware, I think, is an elite play this week. I know he's kind of been, you know, mediocre these last couple of weeks, but, you know, I mentioned him in the DFS show. I'll mention him again here, you know, against Atlanta. He's going to assume a full workload once again. Atlanta's terrible against the run. They give up a ton of receptions to running backs as well. I just think that this is a real bounce back spot for Spencer Ware, you know, especially in daily leagues. But not only that, I think in season long, if you have him, you can feel really good about him. I have him as a top five option.
I completely agree with you. All right, Kansas City versus Atlanta. Mike, who you got?
May go Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm going to take Atlanta at home. So let's go ahead and move on to Detroit versus New Orleans. Mike, what's your takeaway?
What no takeaway is here? I mean, I don't know like what to say other than like, you know, this, just start everybody. You know, start everybody in this game. I guess the biggest...
Where do you have Ingram ranked?
Let's see. I think I have him as a mid-tier option. I know I didn't put him... I have him as 15th.
I've gotten a lot of Ingram questions this week.
Have you? I mean, I think that he's a solid... I mean, he's still going to split work with Tim Hightower. I think that that's pretty apparent. The Detroit defense has been better of late. This isn't me saying that I think that they're going to shut down New Orleans or anything, but they have been better of late. They, you know, still get hurt on the ground and through the air, you know, somewhat. So, I mean, I think that Ingram is, you know, a mid... He certainly isn't going to do what he did last week, but I still think he is a safe running back, too. If you're kind of heavy at running back, then I suppose you can throw him in as a flex. I really like Willie Snead in this game. So if you're going between Willie Snead and Mark Ingram, I almost would think about going Snead here if you're looking for, you know, a high upside play. There really wasn't much that happened in this Thursday game. So even if we're playing the guy that had Zeke or, you know, Dez Bryant or something, it's not like you're in a massive hole that you need to make it up. But if you feel like the team that you're playing this week is just, you know, above and beyond what you think your team would score with Ingram in there, and you think a higher upside option would be better for you, then I have no problem going Snead. I think he is going to be kind of the, you know, underrated guy here that everybody doesn't really think about, and he could, you know, easily have a multiple touchdown game. I do want to talk about Eric Ebron real fast, though, just because I know a ton of people are probably very upset about what he did on Thanksgiving, myself included. I mean, he on the, you know, kind of the biggest stage, you know, that he's played on in a while, just really laid another egg, and it's unfortunate. But, you know, New Orleans is, you know, certainly terrible against the tight end this year, and I feel like Eric Ebron is going to be at least a top 10 option. I have him as my 8th ranked tight end this week. Wouldn't be surprised whatsoever he ended up as a top 5 option. So there's a lot of aspects in this game that you like.
I mean, which wide receiver from Detroit are you starting?
God bless me, but I'm going to start Marvin Jones, and I'm going to start, I mean, I'll start Golden Tate as well. I mean, either one,
if you had to start one, who you taking?
Well, I have Golden Tate as my 15th rated wide receiver this week, so I'm going to go with Tate. He's certainly the safer option, but it's kind of, you know, once again, a, you know, high. I feel like, you know, Marvin Jones.
Marvin Jones is the guy who could get the 2 touchdowns, and Golden Tate is the sure bet.
Yeah, I feel like he is a safer floor, and then Marvin Jones is a higher upside. Something that Adam Levitan of DraftKings Playbook kind of cited in, you know, some of his research was that Detroit has had a really tough run of passing game matchups over the last like 6 or 7 weeks. They've gotten Minnesota a couple times. They've gotten LA, who's been pretty decent in the secondary at times. You know, they've gotten a few other matchups that are just, you know, Washington with Josh Norman on Marvin Jones. So Marvin Jones has really had like a lot of bad luck in terms of, you know, who he's been opposed by. And, you know, certainly this this matchup is the best that he's seen in a long time. I still have him, you know, ranked, you know, much lower than I do Golden Tate, but I mean, both are very much startable.
All right. Detroit at New Orleans, Mike, who you got?
This is a really tough game to predict in terms of who wins. New Orleans is a -6 favorite. I suppose I'll go New Orleans, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Lions continue their end of game heroics.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Lions. I'm starting to really kind of believe in Detroit.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they won that division. They, you know, they're still waiting on DeAndre Levy to return on defense, mm-hmm. but they've done a much better job. I've gotten Haloti Ngata back in the middle of that, you know, defensive line, and he's done a really solid job for them. I mean, there's a lot to like on this team, and you know, I mean, they feel like a much more cohesive unit than they have in the years past. Maybe. Just maybe Calvin Johnson leaving gave them a chance to be a better team. I mean, I'm not going to say that that's like a great argument.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say that, but I think they are, in spite of Jim Caldwell, they are playing very well as a unit.
I mean, at least offensively, they spread the ball out much more than they used to in the past, which is, you know, great for, you know, normal football. But in fantasy, you know, I mean, you always could count on, you know, Calvin Johnson getting at least a, you know, 25% to 30%, you know, target share. And now since he's gone, it's been much more spread out.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and move on to the next game and talk about the Rams at New England. Mike, what are your thoughts on Danny Woodhead?
Danny Woodhead, you know, he is certainly somebody you have to plan for. Brandon Bolden and him, they're just making up such a, you know, big, they're a massive duo in that backfield that I know Jeff Fisher is going to take a lot of time to prepare for this week. I mean, I hope that he can kind of rein them in a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's really surprising for those who don't know. Jeff Fisher was asked a question about New England, and he cited Danny Woodhead out of the New England backfield. So
and Brandon Bolden, has one carrier this year.
Yeah, so it was a really, really bright moment for Jeff Fisher and the Rams.
But, you know, his record doesn't show how good of a coach he is.
Yes, no.
Based on the president or whoever said that, you know, just again defending Jeff Fisher, who is
it in at this point.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, before we kind of really get into the game, I mean, obviously, news broke today that Rob Gronkowski is done for the season. I mean, there is an outside chance he might be able to play in the Super Bowl, you know, if New England makes it that far. What are your thoughts on Gronkowski going into next season or even like in Dynasty or Keeper formats?
You know, there's a lot to say here. I have a close friend of mine who, you know, this is his first year really playing fantasy football. And, you know, he's in a keeper league where, you know, you have draft picks for next year and, you know, you keep eight or, you know, I think it's eight guys he keeps or whatever. But he was in the contention and I told him what, you know, anybody would say, which is, you know, trade assets for the future to win now. And, you know, he had, you know, the opportunity to get Gronkowski about 4 weeks ago. He did that. He traded away a second round pick to do so in next year's draft, which, you know, it's more of like a 10th round pick. But he also traded away, you know, other pieces. Regardless, you know, he went all in for this year. He loses Gronkowski. It's a very unfortunate situation, but that's if we were to, you know, go back in time, I would tell him to do the same exact thing. You can't, you know, foreshadow any of these events happening. In terms of his fantasy value going forward, where I would take him next year, at least right now, he's like a third, fourth round pick for me because we're looking at, you know, now what at least two or three of the last, you know, well, out of the last 5 or 6 years where he has, you know, suffered a, you know, significant injury that has,
and
you know,
hurt. Back, like the back injury. And this is what his third back surgery at this point. I mean, this is, you know, he is a physical freak. And so, like, I don't want to count him out. But at the same time, back injuries and back surgery starting to pile up is not a good sign for anyone. I don't care how good of a shape you are in.
No, and I mean, it's a ruptured disc, so it's not like he just, like, you know, had a little strain here or something like that. I mean, he's having major back surgery. It's, you know, I know somebody that I talked to earlier today was saying that they're not going to take him any time before the fourth round next year. I can't really go against that at this point. I suppose we will have to see what he's doing, you know, in the offseason and stuff like that. But, you know, in terms of games played, you know, he, you know, played 15 in each of the last two seasons. But before that, he missed significant time in 2012, 2013. And then obviously this year, he's going to only play 9 games. I mean, if you're, you know, talking about consistency, I mean, he's certainly not a first rounder going forward, if that's the question.
All right. Thoughts on the game itself?
You know, I mean, my takeaway is, once again, Deion Lewis here. You know, if you stash Deion Lewis, he ended up getting, you know, he had a bump in snaps last week up to 32%. He ended up seeing 10 touches. He ended up, you know, getting, you know, close to 60 yards on those 10 touches. 7 targets in the pass game. Really nice to see. James White only received 4 touches last week. He did get 9 targets, which is, you know, obviously something that we need to look at going forward as well. But pretty much just tells me that Deion Lewis is starting to gain some steam. They just lost the biggest piece on their offense in Rob Gronkowski. They're going to need to make it up in other areas. I love Malcolm Mitchell. I think that he is a top-tier claim. I mean, I'm sure that waiver's already over with, obviously, for this week. But, you know, if he's available anywhere, he is one of those high-upside guys that you can grab that, you know, certainly, you know, he has three touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. Somebody that can easily gain some momentum here as the season closes, especially the fantasy season. But I really like Deion Lewis this week. I like him moving forward. I think he is going to be an integral part of this offense. And as long as he stays healthy, he's a, you know, guy that's climbing up my ranks each and every week.
Yeah, I was going to mention Malcolm Mitchell because I think he's a guy that is pretty under-owned everywhere. He's only owned in about 15% of ESPN leagues. Like you said, 3 touchdowns, 140 yards, between the last 2 weeks. And don't get me wrong, I mean, he was playing against the Jets, had secondary issues, and playing against the Niners, but he's starting to gain the trust of Tom Brady, which to me is a big deal in that offense. And without Gronk, they're going to need another weapon in the passing game. So I think, you know, Malcolm Mitchell is a guy in deeper formats to, you know, take a gamble on, especially if you're struggling. All right, Rams at the Patriots. Mike, who you got?
Patriots.
Patriots. Let's go ahead and move on to the next game and talk about Denver at Jacksonville. Mike, what's your takeaway?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, Devontae Booker has, you know, really disappointed to this point, especially with the fact that he's had the opportunity to really run away with this job since CJ Anderson's been out, at least, and he just hasn't done so. I know last week, prior to the game starting, Chris Collinsworth, you know, mentioned on the broadcast that, you know, the Denver coaches essentially showed film to Booker and said, like, do you think that you're doing a good enough job of, you know, shedding tacklers upon contact and, you know, making plays for us and, you know, essentially calling him out. And I will say, you know, in Booker's defense, that he looked better last week. You know, did that really, you know, become fantasy production? No, but he did essentially look better to me, you know, based on just kind of looking at it on film. Moving forward, I think that he's still the guy. We did see him get more snaps once again than Capri Bibbs. It wasn't by much. He had, you know, 58% compared to essentially 40% for Bibbs, and Bibbs missed a couple series based on an injury during the game as well. But I do think, you know, that this is a situation where, you know, you have to kind of continue to ride Booker out. I think that he's a borderline, you know, running back 1-2 for this week against the Jaguars. They've been much better against the pass than they have been against the run recently. So I have faith in Booker for this week. I'm not really, you know, I'm not really going to shy away from him against the Jaguars team that, you know, still is kind of continuing to reel on the defensive front.
Yeah. I want to talk real quick about the Jacksonville running game because it is becoming a little apparent that Chris Ivory may miss this game with a hamstring injury, which means T.J. Yeldon would be the guy. And the way to attack Denver is on the ground. So what are your thoughts on T.J. Yeldon? Because I think he is a sneaky play this week for, you know, people in maybe in shallower formats. He could be on the waiver wire.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, Yeldon is exactly what you just said. He's kind of a sneaky guy that you could play this week. We've already mentioned it. I think we've kind of beaten the drum on that all year on this show, is just that, you know, the middle of the Denver defense is where you attack it. It's the kind of the softest part of their unit. And, you know, they have you know, given up at least 90 plus yards in three of the last four games to the running back, to a running back. So I certainly think that that's a great call by you. Blake Bortles has been at an all time low in terms of his play.
And not to mention, Denver is great against the pass.
Yeah, you obviously don't want to try and, you know, you gain any, you know, yards by passing against this team. I mean, you certainly want to attack them up the middle. So, yeah, I agree. I think that he is certainly a sneaky play for this week. I don't think he has the highest upside in the world, but if you're looking, I mean, if you're talking about Wendell Smallwood, you know, I mean, yeah. I would much rather start Yeldon.
Exactly. All right. Jacksonville versus Denver. Mike, who you got?
Denver.
Denver it is. Let's go ahead and move on. Houston at Green Bay. Mike, what's your takeaway?
Yeah, I think Will Fuller is a start this week. And, you know, pray to the fantasy gods.
You mean the Will Fuller I just
traded for? Yeah, that one. I can't believe you made that trade, by the way. It was absolutely rape. I don't know how that even happens. I guess people just don't, you know, watch football at times. But, you know, you gave up Brandon Marshall, so I guess that he means the world in dynasty leagues at this moment in time. Anyways, in rant, you know,
Mike just loves when I make trades that benefit me.
Yeah, I'm, you know, I don't get upset at all. As soon as I saw it, all I said in the comment section was Jesus. That's all I said. I mean, and I don't like to, you know,
he had nothing to do with that trade. Jesus did not bless the trade one bit.
No, he didn't, you know, and I hope he doesn't bless it for you either. You know what? Don't play Will Fuller this week. That's what I'll say. Just no. But, you know, Fuller has obviously had a massive amount of lower leg injuries this year. I mean, he had a hamstring injury early. Now he's had like a leg/knee injury. You know, he did play 54 snaps last week against San Diego. He still got six targets, which is nice to see. Really, this comes down, though, to the matchup against Green Bay. I mean, obviously, they had a better game against Philadelphia last week on Monday Night Football. But before that, I mean, they were getting absolutely gashed by speedy wide receivers like Will Fuller. You know, I don't know if you remember earlier in the year, Marvin Jones torched them for over 200 yards and two touchdowns. Stephon Diggs had almost 200 yards and a touch against them. Odell Beckham, touchdown. You know, I mean, there's just a, you know, Taylor Gabriel, even, you know, the speedy guy had 70 yards and a touchdown. There's a lot of Jameson Crowder as well. I mean, there's just the list goes on and on of speedy, you know, just high flying wide receivers that have gashed the Green Bay defense for long touchdowns. And Will Fuller, that's what he does essentially, you know, as his job. So, I mean, I think that Will Fuller is a very good start this week, especially again, if you need some upside in your lineup just to try and, you know, make a last minute heave to the playoffs. I think that he is certainly worth a look.
Yeah, another guy that I've gotten a lot of questions about this week has been Lamar Miller. You know, dealing with injury issues as usual, going up against the Green Bay front. And the one thing I've been telling people is the Green Bay front is not as good as it was 4 or 5 weeks ago. Like,
no, it's not. They are, since the Zeke game. Yeah, since the Zeke game.
Yeah, I mean and it's been injuries. They've just been absolutely destroyed on injuries on defense, especially in the defensive secondary, but in the linebacking core as well. And so, like, if you're thinking, oh, maybe I'm going to sit Lamar Miller this week, I think that is a mistake. If he's on the field, I think he is a high-end RB2.
Yeah, I mean, he's been ceding some carries to Hakeem Hunt recently just because of the injuries and stuff. But, you know, to put it in perspective, the first 4 weeks of the year, they were a top three unit in terms of running back fantasy points against. Now for the season, they're about mid-pack. The last 4 weeks in particular, they have given up the third most fantasy points per game to the running back position. You know, just kind of like you said, I mean, this is a team that's getting gashed by the run just because they have lost personnel. I do think that Clay Matthews will help that a bit. So I don't think that this is necessarily the best spot for Lamar Miller, but, I mean, you have to play him at this point.
All right. The Packers versus the Texans. Mike, who you got?
Going Packers.
Yeah, I'm going to go Packers, too. I'm going to say they get back into this division race. Let's go ahead and move on to Philadelphia-Cincinnati. Mike, is this game just too atrocious to watch?
Hey, yes. I mean, it's kind of like the San Fran Chicago game that I'm sure we'll get to at some point in the, you know, near future
No, I refuse to talk about that game.
But you know, I mean, I'd say the most interesting thing is, you know, Ryan Matthews likely will be out once again for this week. I'm not sure, you know, what his status is, but it wasn't looking good last week. And I know a lot of people were saying, you know, the reports were saying that he was unlikely to suit up for this matchup as well. You know, I mean, last week we saw, you know, the Philadelphia run game really not do, you know, amazing things. I don't think that this is going to be an amazing spot for them once again. But if I have to start one of them, I would still go with Darren Sproles. I know that the game script didn't really help Wendell Smallwood last week, but you know, Sproles continues, you know, to get a good amount of targets in the pass game, which is where he really does his work. He ended up getting, you know, 5 for 48, which is solid in PPR formats. Cincinnati isn't great against the run this year. I mean, I think that, you know, both Darren Sproles and Smallwood are viable, but especially in PPR, I think that you can count on Sproles as a, you know, running back two for this week and, you know, feel pretty decent about it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you know, I don't think there's much to talk about on the Cincinnati side of the ball. A.J. Green's not playing in this game. I mean, you're starting Jeremy Hill because he's the only running back still alive on that team. And you're starting Tyler Eifert because he's the only pass catcher that really means a whole lot, in my opinion. I mean, I guess if you're desperate, you could start Brandon LaFell or Tyler yeah. Boyd. But, I mean, outside of like a 14-team, you know, three wide receiver, you know, league, I probably wouldn't touch either of them.
No, I do just want to mention with Jeremy Hill, he ended up getting a career high in targets last week and receptions. You know, so with Giovanni Bernard out, we thought that Rex Burkhead might assume more of a passing game role. And at least as of right now, that hasn't happened. We saw Burkhead get in the game, but he really saw time at the beginning, you know, in the early downs, not really, you know, in the passing game. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But I think going forward, I mean, Hill and Eifert are the only guys that you can feel anywhere near confident about. And, you know, Godspeed, Cincinnati.
Yeah, good luck. Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Mike, who you got?
I'm going to go with Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm going with Philadelphia as well. Let's go ahead and move on and talk about Miami at Baltimore. What's your takeaway, Mike?
I don't love JHI this week, and I'll just kind of start off by saying that Baltimore is, you know, number one in terms of DVOA against the run this season, according to Football Outsiders. They've done a magnificent job of, you know, bottling up anybody that they're facing in terms of the running game, except for Ezekiel Elliott, of course, because he, you know, is unbottled upable apparently. But I'll say this about, you know, this game. It's really important that we know what offensive lineman will play for Miami. I know that Laremy Tunsil was out last week and Brandon Albert as well. We need to really see if they end up getting a couple of these guys back, because if they do come back, that at least leaves Jay Ajayi with a chance to give you running back two production. You know, in the meantime, I have him as a running back two, right around where I had Mark Ingram at 15. So I have him at 13 for this week. So you almost have to play him, but I feel like this is one of those really, you know, I don't mind if you're sitting there saying, you know what, like, I have Jordan Howard or, you know, Jay Ajayi, which one am I going to start? I would start Jordan Howard, you know, because I feel like that's just, it's too good of a matchup to pass over. And even though Ajayi has been better this year, I hate the matchup.
All right. Let's talk about the Baltimore running backs. Last week, they both had the same amount of carries. So are we starting to see a changing of the guard here in Baltimore, or has this just become a timeshare?
I mean, it's both. So we are starting to see a change in the guard, but I think it will continue to be a timeshare. I don't love this situation at all. I've been saying it for weeks now. I'll continue to say it. I mean, from a long-term perspective, I like Kenneth Dixon a lot, and I think that he's certainly somebody to keep your eye on moving forward. But, you know, the Miami defense as a whole has played much better. And then, you know, after this week, if you're looking at the fantasy playoffs, you have New England, and then you have Philadelphia, and then you get Pittsburgh in the championship game. I just don't think having Kenneth Dixon and wanting to start him is going to do you any good at all, you know, going forward. I would drop Kenneth Dixon, and if, you know, Alfred Morris is out there, I'd pick him up. Sharkhandrick West for the Spencer Ware owners, I would do that. You know, Akeem Hunt for Lamar Miller owners. There's a ton of handcuffs I'd rather have than rolling with Kenneth Dixon. You know, so to answer your question, yes, I do think, you know, based on the snaps and the touches, yes, there is a changing of the guard, but does it matter for this year? I don't think so.
Well, let's talk about then the wide receivers just real quick, because it seems like Joe Flacco is spreading the ball around so much that none of them really have a ton of value. Is that your take as well?
Sure. I mean, I do like it for this week, though. I mean, Mike Wallace I have as a top 20 option.
Oh, wow.
Just based on his long speed. And, you know, wide receiver ones have done a pretty good job against Miami this season. I think that this is certainly a spot that they could exploit. I think that this is a solid spot for him. I wouldn't start Steve Smith. We've seen him have good games, and we've also seen him just be kind of inconsistent. I mean, a fiery guy on the field, you love to watch him play, but from a fantasy perspective, I don't have him as a start this week. I do like Wallace, though. I think that he is one of those wide receivers that you could play that you can, you know, feel okay about. He's consistently getting targeted, and, you know, I mean, he's pretty much their best long option that they have on offense. So, you know, I have him at 25 overall, and I think that that's a pretty solid spot for him.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have him that high. I didn't rank this week, so I don't have ranks to look at. But just off the top of my head, I'd probably have him outside my top 30. But I don't mind the call. I just worry a little bit about, you know, different guys just getting so many looks that it kind of limits the upside of a Mike Wallace, you know, especially if they start mixing Perryman more. You know, they still have Aiken on the field. Dennis Pitt is going to get his, so... there's only so much that Baltimore offense is going to deliver overall. And so if the pie is split up pretty evenly, it's going to be pretty ugly for everybody.
At least on the Perryman side, I know dynasty owners are happy with what they saw last week. I mean, he made an amazing catch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's had a couple highlight reel plays this year that tells me that he's at least, you know, progressing in his development, which is nice to see. I mean, if I'm picking between like Kevin White and Rashard Perryman going forward in dynasty, you're like, you know, I mean, it's kind of close right now just based on the injuries for White.
I think you have to at this point, you know, say it's Perryman because White hasn't been on the field.
No, he hasn't. So. And we don't know how these injuries are going to affect him moving forward. So, I mean, that's just something to think about.
But we don't even know who he is going forward. I mean, let's say he's healthy for the rest of his career. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt that Kevin White never gets injured again, plays every game for the rest of the career. What kind of player is he? We have no idea. We've never seen him.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen him a little bit, and we know what he was in college, but, I mean, we don't know what he is past these massive injuries.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I would take Perryman, you know, because at least we've seen him on the field.
Agreed. You know, and I mean, I didn't go through – I know, you know, we're going through ranks a little bit. I just want to go back to the Patriots game real fast. Based on the fact that the Patriots should be up in that game a big amount, I do have Kenny Britt as a top 15 option at wide receiver this week. Well,
especially with Tavon Austin maybe not playing.
Yeah, and Tavon Austin's trash anyways. I mean, I don't know how anybody can even ever think about him again. He's so bad.
All right. Baltimore versus Miami. Who you got?
I'm going to go Baltimore.
I'm going to go Miami.
On the road? Really?
On the road.
They
got something cooking.
I know. I love me some Adam Gase. I don't know. I feel like that's insanely tough. If they win that game, though, I mean, they're in, like, legit playoff position. Mm-hmm. Like, they might actually make the playoffs after starting 1-4 or 1 and whatever it was.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's why I think they're going to do it. let's go ahead and move on. San Francisco at Chicago. Do you really want to talk about this?
Well, I'll mention what I mentioned in the DFS show is that Colin Kaepernick has been the number two quarterback in fantasy points per game over the last 4 weeks.
That's insane.
Averaging over 60 rushing yards per game, which is insanely valuable. You love what Chip Kelly can do with him. You know, is it fun to watch? Absolutely not. Does he, you know, make you cringe just watching him throw a pass downfield? Sure. You know, I mean, but at the end of the day, he is producing, and there's not much anybody can really do about it. I mean, this is a 49ers team that is obviously not in contention. They're going to, you know, take chances, and they're going to, you know, run, you know, a ton of plays like they have all year. They're number one in pace, like a Chip Kelly offense is supposed to be. I think that this is going to be one of those games that has a ton of fantasy gold in it. You know, I love Kaepernick in this game. I don't really love anybody on the 49ers side other than Vance McDonald and Carlos Hyde, but I will say on the Bears side that Matt Barkley didn't look nearly as bad as I thought he would. Mind you, that's still open for speculation here. I mean, it's only going to be the second game.
Get to play the Niners defense, which gives up the most points to wide receivers, gives up the most points to running backs. I mean,
yeah, especially on the road.
Yeah.
So this is obviously a prime spot for them. I have Marquise Wilson as a I believe as a wide receiver 3 this week on my rankings. I loved what I saw from him. He got targeted 11 times. I mean, that's minus even the drops from it. I mean, Deontay Thompson had multiple drops last week. I mean, these are guys that you don't even know about. But, you know, I mean, regardless, I think Marquise Wilson is, you know, slowly but surely putting himself into the fantasy discussion in deeper formats. I have no problem playing him this week.
Yeah. I like Deontay Thompson, too. I mean, he's a guy that I think if you're desperate, and I am in a couple leagues, that you can roll out there as kind of a long shot guy to get you a touchdown. So,
sure.
Yeah. I mean, and even Cameron Meredith, I know he disappeared a little bit last week. I wouldn't sleep on him completely either.
He didn't disappear. He got 9 targets. The problem was he only got 2 of them. He only caught 2 of them.
Well,
I mean,
that is disappearing.
It is. I mean, but it isn't at the same time. It means like he's still a focal point of the offense a bit. But at the same time, these are all darts. I'd say Marquise Wilson is the guy that I would feel the safest about. But these are, you know, these are all darts.
I mean, outside of Jordan Howard, I mean, yeah, everything's a dart at in Chicago.
Sure.
Chicago versus the Niners. Mike, who you got?
Does it matter? I guess I'll go with the Bears.
God, yeah, I'm gonna go with
who's favored. Oh, it's even. Of course it's even.
I'm gonna go with the Niners. Screw it.
Yeah, they're gonna seed screw the number 2 pick.
They're gonna screw their own draft position, and then Chip Kelly's gonna quit
and go back to Oregon.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go ahead and move on. Buffalo and Oakland. Mike, what's your takeaway?
Sammy Watkins is the devil. That's what my takeaway is. I finally feel good about where he's going and the fact that he's progressing. His health has been solid. You know, he's finally getting more snaps and more touches and all this stuff. And he's going into a matchup against Oakland, who, you know, it's just about as good of a matchup as you can ask for right now in this point in the season. Now, in the middle of the week, he ends up leaving practice because his damn foot is sore. Which, you know, I mean, like, injuries are injuries. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, be upset with a player because he gets injured. But I'm just upset because this is something that, again, is reoccurring. You know, he ended up coming back today on Thursday that we're recording. Hopefully that means that he's going to play in this game. But, you know, there's no way that you can feel great about it. I had him ranked as my 30th wide receiver this week when I did my initial ranks. If I was to redo them right now, I'd probably drop him to about 40. So if you're, you know, making the decision between him and, you know, say a Marquise Wilson, I'd say I'd feel a little safer with Marquise Wilson. But at the end of the day, you know, it is still the Oakland Raiders defense.
It's the upside. And, I mean, Watkins, yeah. I mean, he's high risk, high reward. I mean, the definition of it. He's either going to have one of those like 130 yards and a touchdown games, or, you know, second series in the first quarter, he'll be done for the game.
Yeah, and that's the biggest worry, is that he aggravates it in the middle of the game and he ends up leaving. And then as fantasy owners, there's nothing you can do.
If you've got the type of team that cannot sustain getting a 0 from your wide receiver position, there's no way you can start. Sammy Watkins.
You need to go with a safe option like Kenny Britt. You know he's going to get his 50 yards. You know, I mean, there's a myriad of guys, but you know, just if we're assuming that he's healthy this week, or not healthy, but plays the whole entire game, you know, and gets a uptick in snaps from last week and progresses and, you know, practices all next week and is moving forward somewhat healthy. He still gets Pittsburgh in week 14, Cleveland in week 15, and then Miami in week 16. It's a really solid schedule. So, I mean, if he can somehow stay on the field and be productive, you're looking at a guy that can be a wide receiver too the rest of the way. Mighty risky, but it's a possibility. He's the devil.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Buffalo versus Oakland, Mike, who you got?
I'm going to go with Buffalo in the upset. We didn't really talk about Oakland either.
There's not much to talk about with Oakland.
No, there's not, I suppose. But, you know, Derek Carr is, you know, I mean, has like half a finger at this point right now, just, you know, sucking it back in place. But I still have him as a top 13 option.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to take Oakland at home. Giants at the Steelers. Mike, what's your takeaway?
I think that this is going to be like New Orleans, Detroit 2.0. Like, everybody, you need to just, you know, fire up everybody on this, you know, in this game. I have Ladarius Green as a possible flyer this week at tight end with it, with the position just being so down in the dumps. I also have Will Tye as a my 14th ranked tight end for this week. I like both of those options in a, you know, a week where, you know, we lost Gronkowski, Jordan Reed's not going to be playing,
Delaney Walker's on,
Barnage for the, you people that continue to, you know, continue to have him on your team for no apparent reason whatsoever. But, you know, I think that this is a, you know, a really nice spot for both of those guys, especially if you need upside. I think that Ladarius Green presents a lot of that here. But I love this game. I love this game for Eli Manning, too. I know a lot of people are touting, you know, the great home road splits that Big Ben and Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell present, but you're already playing them. Eli Manning is the type of guy that not everybody might be on for this week, and I think that he is going to have a stellar, stellar week, especially just with the I mean, he's thrown 3+ touchdowns in 5 of his last 6 games, and everybody acts like he's, you know, just a, you know, mediocre quarterback. I have him as my 15th option, so I completely understand going with some other guys ahead of him. But I think that he is in a prime spot to do well. I love Manning and the whole pass game. Sterling Shepard, I just love the Giants pass game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I mean, there's not much to talk about on the Pittsburgh side of the ball. Personally, I mean, outside of the three you mentioned, Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, I'm not starting anybody.
No, I agree. I mean, what, are you going to start Eli Rogers? Or,
yeah, I mean, you
know, you
just can't. And, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't expect huge things necessarily because I like the way the Giants' defense have been playing the last few weeks. So, you know, even from the big three, I'm less optimistic than I traditionally would be.
Yeah, the Giants are top six against wide receivers over the last 4 weeks. They're pretty similar against running backs. I mean, they've been on fire. And mind you, they haven't faced the Steelers at home. So
yeah, that's
we'll
true.
See what happens there.
Hey, Landon Collins, my boy, man, he's been great this year.
Yeah, you're a year too early on the rookie of the year statement.
Rookie of the year last year pick. And he's making a push to be defensive MVP of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And right now, I'd say he's the front runner, right? I mean,
I mean, I can't think.
Donald isn't going off as much as he was last year, which, I mean, you can't really expect that every season. But, you know, maybe Von Miller, you know, on the AFC side is for, you know, a sure thing almost. Although Justin Houston, I don't know if you watched that game, the KC-Denver game, but Houston was an absolute mammoth on his
first. I still think it's Collins at this point. I mean, he's helping save that entire defense at this point.
This is true.
All right, Pittsburgh hosting the New York Giants. Who you got, Mike?
I'm going to go Pittsburgh, but I don't feel great about it.
I'm going to take the Giants in the upset.
Yeah, Giants could be the Super Bowl team from the NFC.
Oh,
I'm just
God, that'd make
throwing that out
so
there.
Gross.
I know you hate them because you're a Redskins fan. But
And
you know.
Speaking of the Redskins, we have the Redskins at the Cardinals. Mike, what's your takeaway?
I just, you know, there's not much to take away from this game. You're going to be playing, you know, your stars. Carson Palmer is not a start for me this week. I mean, if you want to go that route. But, you know, I'd say there's only one or two Cardinals that you're going to start. And what, you know, I guess on the Redskins side, other than DeSean Jackson, Crowder, and, you know, Kelly and Cousins, are you going to be starting Vernon Davis? I suppose he is a, you know, decent flyer, you know, in the case that, well, Jordan Reed is not going to play. So, you know, I feel like he is a top 15 option, you know, this week against Arizona. But I feel like this is a pretty straightforward game from a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I'm going to start DeSean Jackson over a couple different options in a league because, I mean, Patrick Peterson's been dealing with some injury issues. And I think Jackson could pass him. I love Crowder. I think he can exploit any defense, and he's really turned it on this year. I mean, great call by you about, 8 weeks ago, you were like, this kid could be a top 20 receiver going forward, and he's been nothing but phenomenal since.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't know if he's going to end up that way. You know, let's see from week 4 on, you know, just based on PPR scoring, I'm going to try and see if he is a top 20 receiver since that point. But he is, number 19, you know, since week 4. So I'm pretty much right there. But guess who's right behind him? Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
You know, which is pretty crazy. I mean, it's been pretty crazy this year. But and then, you know, last year I was all, you know, I was on the all hate mode for Davante Adams. He's a top 5 receiver since week 4 in PPR formats. So
we don't need to talk about our bad calls.
Yeah, Davante Adams apparently is good at football now, everybody.
All right. Washington and Arizona, Mike, what you take, or what, who you got?
Washington.
Mm.
I know that Arizona could have a bounce back game here.
I'm going to take Washington too. I just hate betting on my own team.
Arizona's offensive line is just terrible at this point. Yeah. I actually think Washington's defense is a possible play this week.
Ugh, I wouldn't do that.
As bad as that sounds, I know. No, but I feel like it's a possibility.
It's a possibility, but I mean, you know, if you're in a 30-team league and they're out on the waiver wire, sure, go ahead.
30-team league. Excellent.
Let's go ahead and move on. Talk about your team, Tampa Bay at San Diego. What's your takeaway here?
First off, I mean, biggest win possibly of, you know, since like, what, 2003 or 4 for the Buccaneers. Like, I
a win I around. Called, by the way.
Did you call it? Yes. Who did you call that with?
I on Twitter. I threw it out there. I'll have to find and retweet it.
Wait, did you call it with the line or did you call an overall
overall win? A victory.
No way. Yes. Wow. Well,
I believed. I put $100 on Tampa Bay on the money line.
Shut up. Oh my God. Well, thank you for doing that. That's awesome. But you know, from a non-football perspective and looking at it from a fantasy lens, this is a, you know, pretty good game for fantasy output as well. You know, Philip Rivers, you know, has the second most red zone attempts among any quarterback in football. You would expect, you know, this Buccaneers defense, which has done really well over the last few weeks here, you know, double digit points in 2 of the last 3, I believe. I still don't think that they are anything great. So you have Philip Rivers, who I think will again get a ton of, you know, red zone looks in this one. Melvin Gordon is obviously a start, but you know, I am a little worried about some of the pass catchers. I think instead of feeling great about, you know, the Dontrell Edmonds of the world, and you know, whatever, and I think that Tyrell Williams is fine, but I do think that this is a bounce back spot for Gates, especially after he laid an egg last week. So I'm looking towards Gates and Tyrell Williams on the pass catching side for the Chargers here. And on the Bucs side, you know, is there, I mean, honestly, in Dynasty, I think we have to have a conversation now between Mike Evans and like Julio Jones, you know, and Mike Evans and Odell Beckham, Mike Evans and even Antonio Brown at this point. Because it's becoming, I mean, at least with the target share and his size, his speed, the mismatch that he creates each and every week. I mean, he just beasted over Richard Sherman, the best corner in all of football, for 2 touchdowns. I feel like he's in the conversation as the number one pick moving forward if you're in a keeper dynasty.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know if I would go that far.
The conversation.
I think you have to start talking about him as a top 5 wide receiver. That is for damn sure.
Yeah, I feel like that's like playing it safe, though. Like at some point, yeah, I think that this season, I mean, we'll see how the rest plays out. Remember, Evans still has 2 matchups against New Orleans on the docket. So, I mean, once the season plays out, we'll see how it goes. But I really firmly believe in keeper dynasty team. You know, people that aren't playing for this year anymore that are in keeper formats, I would really think long and hard about, you know, maybe making a trade, you know, trade your Antonio Brown and get Mike Evans and a piece, or trade Julio and get Mike Evans and a piece. I bet a lot of times people will say, no, I might do it straight up, but no.
Yeah, I don't think that is a bad strategy, especially if you can get that piece.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, Tampa Bay at San Diego. Mike, what's Jake? Who you got?
I got San Diego. I know I'm going against my team here, but no, what do you? I know how
Tampa
I feel about
Bay,
Doug Martin.
I'm taking
Tampa. About Martin.
What do I feel about Doug Martin?
Yeah.
I think this is a fine start for him. I know San Diego has been, you know, kind of up and down against the run, but I mean, I'm rolling with him. He's got to be a running back 1 for me at this point.
Yeah, I just didn't want to be too irrational. Like this week, I have him as like a top 8 option.
Yeah,
so like
I have him in the top 10, top 12 at least. So,
yeah, I mean, San Diego's been better against the run. I mean, they've been markedly better against the run this year, especially over the last, you know, 4 or 5 games than they were last season. But, you know, I didn't want to be too irrational on, you know, a guy, but we'll see. I mean, Jacquizz Rodgers.
As long as he's healthy, he's a stud. Doug Martin's always about health.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to take Tampa Bay on the road.
Well, I have to take Tampa Bay down too, then, if you're going to take them. But I do think San Diego. No, I'm going to just take San Diego. And hopefully you're right, since you called Seattle last week. And I know I would have picked Seattle if I was playing. So,
all right. Carolina versus Seattle. What's your takeaway, Mike?
Keep the strange superstitions going. I think that this is a massive bounce back spot for Seattle. I haven't seen Cam Newton play this bad ever in his career. I honestly don't know if it's just a mental thing, if he has been rattled by, you know, getting hit a ton this year and he feels like it's unfair that he's not getting penalized or, you know, getting the penalties called for him as opposed to other people in the league. But I ranked him at 16 this week. It's by far the lowest I've ever had him at in my quarterback rankings ever. Do I think that means that you can't start him? No. But, you know, if you're talking about him and Kirk Cousins, I'm going Cousins. If you're talking about him and Eli Manning, I'm going Manning, you know, so. While I don't think, you know, that means that you bench guys like, you know, Greg Olsen, I do think you bench Kelvin Benjamin, and I don't feel good about Cam Newton in this passing game.
Yeah, I mean, I've expressed concern about the passing game in Carolina all year long, and a lot of my, you know, trepidation has been with Kelvin Benjamin, and not feeling like he is the same guy we saw prior to the ACL injury. But I think you're right. I think there are some issues with the whole team. I mean, Ron Rivera just needs to go, you know, and I know he won't because he went 15-1, you know, and they made it to a Super Bowl and, you know, this is a downturn. But to me, I think the whole team is missing something, and I think it starts with the leadership.
What other options do they have? I mean, there's no other coaching options, really. I don't know. Did you see Kelvin Benjamin last week, though, throw like a little hissy fit before he caught that like 44-yard touchdown?
I know. I missed that.
Yeah, he threw like this little hissy fit. I thought it was like an absolutely immature move. But, you know, the whole year I've been kind of on Kelvin Benjamin's bandwagon, and he just has not produced. I still think that there's an opportunity to buy low in keeper leagues. But at least for the rest of the year, this is a guy that you definitely can't bank on for this week. And, you know, facing San Diego, probably facing Josh Norman in week 15, you know, the only matchup that I see that are, you know, the only two that I see that are good the rest of the way is Tampa Bay and Atlanta, and you don't really know where you're going to get out of them there.
And, so, I mean, you know, most people don't play in week 17 as they shouldn't.
True. True. Absolutely.
You hear that, Eli? Week 17 in the three-sport league. God damn it.
Look forward to starting Jimmy Garoppolo and...
Right?
Probably Dwayne Washington.
With my $3 of fab to pick people up. All right. Carolina versus Seattle. Mike, what's your takeaway? Who you got? I keep saying that.
It's all good. I got Seattle, and, you know, I think Thomas Rawls has a much better week this week, too.
I think this is a low-scoring affair. I'm going to take Seattle, but, I mean, there's very few guys, you know, outside of maybe like Jimmy Graham and Jonathan Stewart. And I don't even know if I would start Baldwin. I mean, I probably would, but he'd be...
Why would you not start Baldwin? I mean, why? There's other reasons. I have him as a top 16 option this week.
I don't think he's a top 25 receiver this week, but I've never been a Baldwin guy.
Yeah, I think that he's... Yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right, board bet. Doug Baldwin is not a top 22 wide receiver this week.
Put it on the brag board.
Yeah, whatever we say.
I swear we're not stealing it from ESPN Fantasy Focus. We don't mean to, at least. Don't
no,
tweet
we're
at
totally,
them saying
we're totally
we're
stealing it from them, and we're giving them credit for it right now.
Yeah, we're not, you know... We're trying to cite our sources.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's go ahead and move on to Indianapolis at the Jets for Monday Night Football. What is your takeaway, Mike?
First and foremost, want to say RIP to Joe McKnight, who
I haven't heard the entire story. I know he was killed after a road rage incident. I don't know if he was the person who was. Was the rager or what, but either way, it's a sad story. 28 years old.
Another New Orleans shooting. I mean, we had one in the off season with, I'm trying to remember the name. I know it sounds bad that I can't remember the name. But it was a New Orleans, Will Allen. It was Will Allen in the off season. And now Joe McKnight here, only 28 years old. I mean, just, an absolute it doesn't really matter who started the road rage. I mean, no road rage incident should result in somebody getting shot. Yeah. I do know the person that you know, is suspected or, you know, alleged to have shot McKnight is a, you know, 50-year-old white male who a lot of people are calling a white supremacist in a lot of ways. I mean, I don't know if this turns into a racial issue, then I, you know, feel even worse about this. I, you know, regardless, we lost a, you know, a guy that was a, you know, a nice player in the league, you know, regardless of whether he was a fantasy guy or not. This is not something that I think is, you know, that I condone in this world. It's just, it sucks for, you know, the game, and it's, you know, my prayers and, you know, every thoughts and prayers go out to McKnight's family. He's much too young. I mean, 28 years old is just much too young.
28 years old, no matter the circumstances, is way too young to be losing your life. So, like you said, thoughts and prayers to his family. But let's talk about the game. Indianapolis, New York. Andrew Luck coming back after the concussion this week.
It looks that way, and you know, T.Y. Hilton is another guy you're gonna have to keep your eye on here. It's, you know, seemingly to me he will play, but you don't know for certain. Hilton is the type of guy that will seem like he's not gonna play, and then he will, or you know, sometimes it seems like he's not gonna play, and then he actually won't play. I mean, it's kind of a toss up each and every time that he gets injured like this. But, you know, regardless, if he is a go, then I would certainly, you know, pencil him in. I also would pencil in Moncrief against this Jets defense that, you know, has pretty much packed it in for this year. They've given up 100 yards or a touchdown to a wide receiver in every game except one this year. Except two this year. So, I mean, this is a team that just cannot, you know, stop the pass. Andrew Luck should be fine. I think that the Colts offense will be fine as well. So no problem with any of the pass catchers. I'm not really starting a tight end on the Colts side, but, you know, that's pretty much it.
What about on the Jets side? Anything to really talk about?
Not really. You're starting Marshall, who I don't think will keep up what he did last week. You do like that Fitzpatrick is still back there. So, you know, you certainly can feel a little better about starting him now. Forte is certainly a start against a, you know, Indianapolis run D that is insanely bad. I mean, they've just been gashed upon gashed every single game that they've played, essentially. But, you know, other than that, Forte and, you know, Brandon Marshall, I'm not really looking for anybody else. I think Fitzpatrick is, you know, just a two quarterback start if you're, you know, in a deeper format like that. But, you know, hey, this game is pretty much self-explanatory. I'd expect Indy to win fairly handedly.
All right. You're taking Indianapolis. I will take Indianapolis as well. That is going to wrap us up. Mike, why don't you tell people where you can reach and what you're working on?
Reach me on Twitter at Mike Warner, FWFB. You know, please look at the site, friendswithfantasybenefits.com. Check out the DFS podcast with myself and Sasha Salinger. I had to say it slower so I can actually pronounce it correctly for once. And, you know, baseball season's ramping up. So if you're a baseball fan, definitely check it out. You know, make sure that you subscribe to all of our stuff, rate and review, all of that.
Yeah, you can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. You can email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Read all my baseball stuff on FanGraphs. You can read all my football stuff on friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Yeah, definitely give us a rate and review. Check out the baseball podcast, which is still going on during the baseball offseason, and we'll be coming back in full force in January. And then we won't be going away in January. You know, I don't know if you and Sasha are going to continue to do the DFS show. But you and I will continue to record in case you're doing playoff leagues or anything like that. And then we'll continue to record in the off season, just not as frequently as we're recording now. So that will wrap us up. For Mike and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.